The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Tony Curry here, along with my good friend Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. It's called the UAB Director's Chair. We check in and find out what's going on in the great world of UAB Athletics every single week. Marcus, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm excellent, man. How you doing today?
Doing fantastic. Pleasant surprise this past weekend, although it was a loss to Memphis in the Battle of the Bones, a name that I have heard pretty much my entire life, Harrison Barker. Of course, Jay Barker did a radio show with him for 14 years to see his son out there take the helm and take the football for the UAB Blazers. Was pretty doggone exciting from a personal standpoint. Looked pretty good in the first half. Talk about his first start, how that happened. And of course, Jacob Zeno, a late scratch there for the ball game this past Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, credit Coach Dilfer for protecting Jacob Zeno, who could have played, but he knew we were off this week, giving him, you know, a couple extra weeks to rest, given he had, you know, an injury at the end of the San Antonio game, but he's clear now. Like I said, he could have gone, but you know, Coach Dilfer was just adamant about not putting him at any additional risk. And so, yeah, you know, we played quarterback got by committee a little bit the other day. We played three different quarterbacks and really in some ways that kept Memphis off balance, not knowing, you know, they hadn't prepared for any of those guys and hadn't prepared for what we might do. And we played them all a little bit differently. And Harrison, who threw that first touchdown, yeah, he did. He looked great. And he's a really smart football player. Does that surprise you to know that, you know, given his dad's history? Probably not. So he's a really smart player, local guy, as you know, Spain Park kid. And yeah, I was thrilled to see he's a terrific young man and did not play football at all last year. I mean, he had come to us, he had walked on our team. Then last year told the staff he wanted to be a coach. And so he never suited up at all. And then when we hired Coach Dilfer, he wanted to come back and play and get back on the field. There he is.
There he is. Yeah.
He's in the game and he's playing and playing well. So yeah, really happy for him. And anyway, yeah, it was an interesting thing. And like I said, we played all three quarterbacks in a different way and kept them off balance. You know, bottom line is I don't care who you're playing. You can't turn it over four times.
Yeah.
You can't turn it over. I don't care who you're playing. You're going to play, you know, Hiawassee High School. You can't turn it over four times.
Yep, and they did, and obviously that showed in the second half, a big time. UAB, of course, guys, has the bye week this week. Then they're back home against FAU, Navy on the road, then, of course, Temple back at home, and then UNT to finish out the season. Obviously not the season you were hoping for at 2-6 at this point, but I did want to bring something up, and I don't think people realize this is a really, really young football team. Let's talk about a little bit about that. I mean, how many freshmen you got playing? Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's amazing how young this football team is right now.
Yeah, he's playing like 13 freshmen, and I think there's three others that are rotating in, and there's another one that I know that as of the end of the game the other day is going to start probably getting 25 snaps a game. So he's playing a lot of young guys. He's got a lot of, like the majority of his quote veterans are redshirt sophomores. You know, now the defensive side has got a bunch of seniors, juniors or seniors that are in the mix. But otherwise, you know, he's playing a lot of young guys, and you know. You know, Ted Feely is our media relations guy. And I asked him the other day, I wasn't sure he was trying to be funny. And he said, do you know that the opponents we've played have a record, the FBS opponents that we've played have a record that's 35-15 combined?
Wow.
And I said, no, I didn't know that. And I said, is that supposed to be good? I don't know. Are you trying to make me feel better or worse? I don't know. And he's like, no, I'm just telling you, you know, they're really good, whatever. But, to say, is it the season we hope for? I mean, look, I'm hopeful that we go undefeated every year. So when we're not, I'm already disappointed. I'm not terribly surprised given, you know, the challenge of the opponents that we've played so far. But I'm also incredibly optimistic because I've watched us improve every week and I know what we have ahead. So I'm not saying we're going to go undefeated, but I do know that we can. So, you know, the first task obviously is beating Florida Atlantic. We gotta, you know, buckle down and minimize mistakes, starting with turnovers. And if we minimize our mistakes, I know we can beat them. And just one at a time here. And if we could do that, we're bowl eligible again in a much tougher league and much tougher out of conference schedule too. And I would consider that a huge victory for us and really positive. So, you know, one game at a time, right?
Yep, absolutely. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We have an email here from John in Homewood. We'll get to that in just a second. I did want to ask you about the situation in Michigan. They seem like they've been in trouble since this past summer. And Connor Stallions, who is a UM staffer, evidently bought tickets to, he bought 35 tickets to 17 different games at the end of the 2022-2023 season as Michigan went to the playoffs. And they're looking at some type of sign stealing situation with UM. I wanted to get your thoughts on exactly that. You know, with technology now, we can go back to the Houston Astros with banging the trash can lid. We can go back to people putting weights inside their Wally fish and the walleye fishing scandal. I mean, there's been cheating, and they say if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Would you talk a little bit about that? Is that something that is you look at? Is it, what's the relevancy of that? To me as a fan, it doesn't seem like it's, because everyone's got their phone up, everyone's videotaping everything at college football games. But to use that as far as in a steel signing situation, is it that big of a deal?
Well, yeah, I think it is. And, you know, integrity is important, and it's important as it relates to the game and everything that we do, as it relates to all of our rules. And that's what we're designed for, is to maintain the integrity of the game and follow the rules. You know, it's not that complicated. You follow the rules no matter what those rules are. And so, yeah, I think it's important. You'll see from time to time, different staffs hold up these large signs, or they look like cloth sheets between two sticks. Yep. They'll hold those up and block the signals from the press box. And so imagine if you were on the home team and the press box is on your side behind you, people holding up this curtain so no one in the press box can see down onto the field and see what signs you're calling. And that's because for whatever reason, they believe people have done it or have a tendency to do it, or it's been done to them by somebody before and they don't want it to happen again. And, you know, so when you're watching that, that's what it is. They believe that, whether they're right or not is maybe up for discussion, but they believe that somewhere along the past, somebody, either the team that they're playing against or has had a tendency to do that, and I've had our coaches tell me that before in years past, that this team we think stole our set. There's no way they were in position. They knew it was a run or a pass. You know, they didn't know necessarily what we were calling, but it was evident that they always had somebody in position when we were going to run or pass. And you know, I also know not to be critical, but coaches can be terribly paranoid, and they're sometimes correct in their, you know, in their belief of paranoia and their right to be paranoid. And sometimes they're just paranoid, you know. Sometimes the other team is just better, you know, right? But maybe the players are just better. Maybe they just had you figured out, because what we are doing legally is we're watching. You know, we share video, but the video is just the game, so you don't see the sidelines. Sometimes there might be a quick flash of a sideline, right? Ball goes in the air, but usually you all you can see is what's contained on the field. And we are watching to say, you know, what does Florida Atlantic run when it's fourth and short, third and short? What do they run? What do they typically run, first and long or second? If they're backed up, what we know their tendencies. Doesn't mean we know what they're going to do, but that's all permissible. Everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
It's really just about layering in this other piece that you're watching the sideline. And again, I'm not saying that's okay, but we're all kind of halfway there. But that's all based on your study of the game, not of the signals. And one of the things that I think is about to happen in the bowl season, we've been notified that it's permissible to start using some sort of device like you see in the NFL, the communication headset communication to the quarterback. So none of us have this technology, but if you're able to acquire the technology, you know, step one is we're making it permissible as a test for the bowl season. Now, the other question is, if there are multiple technologies, do both teams have to use the same technology? Or what if one team says we're not doing it, or does one team get to do it if the other team says they're not going to do it? Yeah. So we hadn't figured any of that out.
Yeah.
But the Football Oversight Committee has said, hey, why don't we try this as a test? So some of that will be to avoid issues like what you're asking about.
So what is permissible? Because I know that in game, you can do video and things like that. If you're actually playing a team, correct. And it's not considered steal signing, but, or sign stealing, but what is permissible? Obviously you scout other teams before you play them. What can you do to get an edge up or to push the envelope a little bit?
You can simply watch the game and watch all the games that they have played. And through the course of the season, determine, when it's third and less than three, these are all the plays that they have run. Okay. And you can just look and say, okay, out of the 30 opportunities, they ran between the tackles 20 of those, or they ran outside the tackles 20 of those, or they threw it more times than that, you know, and you may not be an advantage at all. You might find, wow, they've run in 30 different plays. They've run 9 different things and they're all different, half pass, half throw, half inside, half outside. And so, you know, that's not really going to give you an advantage, but you can study their film and see what their tendencies are in certain, you know, where they are on the field. At midfield, they more frequently do this. Do they go for it on fourth down? Yes or no?
Gotcha.
And then what do they do?
UAB Director's Chair. He is the UAB Athletic Director. And Mark Ingerman joins us every single week right here on the TKR app. Of course, I get that TKR app like 100,000 folks have already done that. You can listen to the show at least 5 days a week. And of course, also watch us wherever you're watching your favorite YouTube videos, the YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, we're available on every major industry. We do have an email here. John in Homewood, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, welcomes the inclusion to Army in 2024 into the AAC. But it's only Army's football team, and not aware of what other sports Army's actually into. He wanted to know, as an athletic director, how do teams join other conferences with exclusive sports and not bring the rest of the sports with them?
Yeah, well, most people don't. But Army has, I believe, 36 sports, and a number of which the American Conference does not sponsor. And remember, Army was independent, so they were already playing all their other sports in other conferences. So this decision with football and Army doesn't impact any of those other teams because Army wasn't in a league. Let's say if Army had already been in Conference USA and also had those other sports in CUSA, then Army would have had to figure out, is everybody staying in CUSA except for football? And then CUSA would have to say that they were willing to allow that. They don't have to let you stay.
Yeah.
And so in this particular case, because football was independent, none of the other teams that are at Army are impacted by this this decision. So that's how it's working for Army. Normally, you wouldn't see that. It's only these unique cases with the academies where, like Navy, for example, they're football only in the American. And then Wichita State got picked up as a everything but football member into the American. Now, we could look to do that. There hasn't been any conversation about that. I don't know if we will. Somebody asked me, they saw something on Twitter yesterday that VCU, there had been some long conversation, or that's false. Now, will that maybe happen one day? I guess maybe, but we haven't talked about that at this point. So your guess is as good as mine as to whether we do or don't do that. And that'll be up to, you know, all the presidents and ADs to discuss. And I would imagine we would discuss it, even just to say, do we want to go after someone, whether it's VCU or somebody from Idaho? I don't know. But yeah.
Go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com for ticket information, everything's going on, and UAB Athletic Directors, he is the man. Mark Ingram joins us right here on TKR for the UAB Director's Chair every single week. Let's talk a little music here. No classic rock, but I'm going to talk some Taylor Swift. Have you seen the new movie?
I have not, but yeah, I mean, talk about success. Did Michael Jackson do this too? I'm trying to think, has anybody else done this?
Prince actually did it. He actually had something that was done and didn't like it, and so he went ahead and redid it himself, and he edited the entire thing to make sure it looked just the way he wanted it to. Now, Taylor Swift didn't do that, and Beyonce also has
a
movie thing out as well. And my question was, and as a parent, who obviously I'm not going to go see the Taylor Swift thing, but my 11-year-old's already seen it twice, and she wants to see it again.
Yeah.
The question is it a blessing that this is happening, or is it a curse? Or a scam that Taylor Swift is not only charging thousands of dollars to go see her live, and of course her tour continues, and now she's charging another $25 to $35 for us to go to a movie theater and actually watch her in concert when you can't really afford the ticket itself to go see her live.
I don't think it's a scam. Hey, man, I'm a capitalist. If you can get it, get it. I mean, what's wrong with that? You don't have to go.
Well, as the parent who can't afford a $500 ticket, I guess it's a blessing because at least they get to go dance in a movie theater somewhere. But yeah. At the same time, I feel like I'm being taken a little bit here.
You're being taken by your daughter. You're not being taken by Taylor Swift.
That is true.
That's between you and your daughter, man. That leave Tay Tay alone. Leave her out of this.
She's a
smart. Her show is awesome. I took my daughter, one of my girls, my older daughter. I mean, it's been 5 years ago, probably. We went over to Atlanta and saw her at Mercedes-Benz. She did like three straight nights. And I'm telling you, it was sold out every single night. The show was incredible. First, I mean, this young woman is writing her own music, producing her own music. She performs, she plays instruments, she does the choreography. I mean, she's really remarkable. You don't have, I mean, whether, you know, her style of music is yours or not, like, it's really incredible that she's doing all that herself. And the show was fantastic. I mean, it was theatric and costume changes, wardrobe changes, different dances. She had three different stages. She flew across the arena from one end to the other on like a chariot thing to get to another stage. I mean, it was really awesome. And I don't know what the movie setup looks like, but the ability to go see her and still see her, I think it's pretty cool and good for her if she can do it. I mean, just again, it tells you how wide her audience is and tells you how popular she is to be able to do that. One of the things that I remember, people kind of make fun of Taylor Swift for this. You know, she kind of has these really overly humble kind of reactions sometimes. Mm-hmm. She asked a question during the show. She played five songs or something. I do remember she was sitting at a piano. So she's already played guitar. Now she's about to play piano. And she's thanking everybody for being there. And she says, we were here last night. Was anybody else here last night? Tony, the applause of the people who were there the night before was massive.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. I wasn't there. We weren't there. But like, I'll bet you half. They had seen her the night before. They were there to see her again. And it was the same show. You know, that's how much people like her and what her appeal is. So good for her. I think it's cool. I didn't know. For whatever reason, I seem to think that Michael Jackson did this, but maybe I'm just totally wrong.
She's an amazing woman and probably even a better business person. And she has time to go see Chief games on weekends.
Now she's out seeing the Chiefs, man.
I mean, she's living the good life, is she not? Hey, great stuff, man. Go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com. Check out the UAB Director's Chair. We do it every single week, Mark. Until next week, thank you so much. Enjoy your bye week, okay?
Yeah, hey, man, listen, we start basketball next week. Men's basketball, Morehouse College exhibition on Monday night. Come see our new Blazers. And then we've got 2 p.m. on November the 4th here against Florida Atlantic. That's game number one in our quest for bowl eligibility. So come get behind these kids, man. You got to believe now. We're going to get it right. Don't worry about it. And I need you to come support those kids and support this team because we're going to get there.
Thank you, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.